Blog Talk Radio.
The opening theme of Talk Geek with Tyler Brook podcast, hosted by Tyler Brook out there in Pearl River, New York. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this in Los Angeles. 347-205-9631. It goes by quick. There's a lot of you guys on there. I'll get to some of these questions, pass them on to him momentarily. If you missed this show or you want to send it out to your friends, tell them to get on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So, without further ado, more of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Tyler to the threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And another great guest you're bringing in here, my friend.
Thanks, Mark. I'm doing okay. Dealing with a little bit of a coldish situation, but nothing I haven't handled before. You want to get a hold of me? Go to geektalkwithtyler.com. All my socials are there. Want to be a guest, sponsor, or just want to say hello? Those are all welcome. And now my lovely guest, George, how the hell are you?
I am good, but maybe a little bit cold, which I'm sure you are as well.
Well, I live in Northeast, so ..
Yeah. Yeah, not the lovely L.A. area, which, again, very jealous of.
Yeah, it's where Mark doesn't want to let go of the tight grip he has my balls, reminding me that it's nice and warm over there. But a little less crass now. You want to talk about who you are, what you do, where you found, all that other fun stuff?
Absolutely. So my name is George O'Connor. I am a writer and musician just outside of Boston. If you want to see what I do, comics-wise, you can go to homelesscomics.com. Music-wise, my band is called Swarm of Eyes, swarmofeyes.com. If you like your music loud and heavy and angry, but like created by some of the nicest, funniest people you'll ever meet. And online, while Twitter is still a thing, I'm there at LazyHorde, LazyHorde. And like a lot of the comics community, I opened up a Hive account. And over there, I'm at my name, George W. O'Connor.
Terrific, terrific. Denise from San Francisco says, "Hi, Tyler. Love your show. That's a guest. Swarm of Eyes. Sounds interesting. Now I got to ask, how did you come up with that name?"
This band has been together for 12 years, and that's just the way for me to set up. I don't remember. Our lead singer, Randy, had a list of names, and as we were going through them, Swarm of Eyes was the one that jumped out as, okay, that sounds metal. It sounds like it could evoke some very cool imagery, and most importantly, nobody else had taken it. And when you've been making music,
kind of sounds like a meatball situation where the title has nothing to do with what it's about.
So yeah, I mean that's it, and you know it's got that perfect three syllable chantable bit to it. But yeah, man, like after being in bands for decades, you kind of realize that finding a band name that hasn't already been taken is almost the most important X factor in any band. So yeah, so that's where it comes from. And we are currently working on a new EP right now.
Terrific. Now, our topic today was actually suggested by you. So gratefully, great idea, and we're going to talk a little bit about it, about new ideas in the age of reboots. But first, we got another question. Rick from Delaware. Hi, boys. This is a show that just keeps picking up steam here in Philadelphia. Keep up the great work. That producer sitting in luxury in California, cold beer. Yeah, at this point, it's more of a jab at Mark and a compliment to me. So thank you, Rick from Delaware. So, I'm going to ask you these questions as a businessman, and I'm going to ask you as a fan. What are your thoughts on reboots?
It is, you know, it's because you're, as a businessman and as a fan, it's two sides of the blade. As a fan, I'm excited, you know, I get excited by some of these. I'm not immune to nostalgia, and I'm not immune to seeing a thing that made me happy once come back with the hope that it's going to make me happy again, that it's going to inspire me again, right? Like all this stuff that I watch and take in, it I turn it into inspiration. Good or bad, you know, if it's good, it's a bar I want to jump over. If it's bad, that it fuels the, well, all right, if they can do it, then, you know, what am I waiting for? You know, that type of thing. As the businessman, what I notice, because, you know, I've been in comics for about 12 years as well. I've been doing conventions multiple conventions every year. And what I've noticed is it's hard to, or I guess one of the barrier to entries is if you've got somebody at a convention and they've got $20 left over, right? They've gotten their autographs. They've gotten into the convention, which can sometimes be incredibly expensive. They've gotten their autographs, which will absolutely be incredibly expensive. They've bought their food, which will absolutely be incredibly expensive. And they got $20 left over. And they got some time to wander around.
Everything else already costs an arm and a leg. The food doesn't need to cost an arm and a leg, too. I am not spending $25 unless Mark Hamill grills a fucking hot dog.
I mean, that chicken finger platter, one, better be really good. You know, the chicken pieces better be really big, and there better be plenty of fries on it. No, and don't give me little chicken fingers. Like, I need a platter of chicken fingers, especially,
dude,
give me
ostrich fingers. Seriously.
So what I've noticed is, they'll have, whatever, like I said, they got $20 and they're wandering through Artist Alley and they see a bunch of stuff that they like. And they're going to come to my table. You know, being a writer, I've got nothing but books. If you're not interested in reading, if you're not interested in new ideas, I kind of don't have anything for you. We'll have a great conversation. But if you're looking at me and here's this book for $20, or, you know, somebody next to me is doing a print of Deadpool, and you know you love Deadpool. Well, I got $20. Yeah, where is the barrier to entry? I know I like Deadpool. I don't know if I'm going to like this book. So let me put the $20 towards the thing I know I already like.
You
know,
well, when
you
think about it, isn't Deadpool already a reboot of Deathstroke?
I mean, yeah. You know, if you go into the lore of it all. As a businessman, and kind of like, honestly, making the decisions of, all right, what am I going to make next? I'm very cognizant that that's one of the things, you know, I'm up against. And then if you want to bring it out even further. So, you know, my level, I call myself, I'm at the pro-am level. I take this stuff very seriously. I work with incredibly talented people who inspire me and who are experts at what they do. I try and create projects that are smooth and enjoyable, and that where everybody feels appreciated and has the room to do their best work. That being said, I have a day job, right? So I am not living and dying by every book that I sell. So like I said, that pro-am level. But I am a dreamer. I don't think, you know, I first picked up a guitar 30 years ago, and I haven't put it down yet. So I don't think you keep going over 30 years if you also don't have a part of your brain that can't stop dreaming. So, you know, when I set out to make a comic book, I set out to make the best comic book I can help make. There's always a part of me that's like, oh, this would look really cool on Netflix, though.
Well, if you ever want to do a collaboration project, I'd be more than happy to help you with that. And we got another comment. Dave from Danville, California. Love the reboot session. This is great. Dave, we thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Honestly, reboots are profitable, which is why the only reason they exist.
Yeah.
And I do understand it from both sides. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, they want something that's guaranteed to put butts in seats.
Yes.
Which is why we see the latest Batman piece of crap with a frickin' Twilight guy. And it's like, okay, so how does this story happen? Oh, rich boy sees his parents dead in the alley because of a mugger.
Yeah.
Wow, it's like we haven't heard that story a thousand times before. Oh,
but
how did Superman get to be? Oh, he's the last surviving member of a dead planet. Who else does that sound like? Goku from Dragon Ball.
But, you know, even beyond the profitability of it, what a lot of it is it's mitigating risk. If you have a property that people already know, whether it's, you know, whether it's something like a Batman, a Superman, Spider-Man, something that's like always churning in the consciousness, you being like the marketing people, the studios, the whoever's, you don't have to spend money educating people on what it is, right? Like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, it's in the consciousness. With Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or a Ghostbusters or a Star Wars, you know, and at this point Star Wars is forever and a day, but, you know, I remember when Star Wars coming back was a huge deal. You've got something that you know at least once in one period of time it was successful. So if you kind of take that analogy of the person wandering around Artist Alley, are they going to, you know, and you take it to kind of the executive level, are you going to try this new property that might be cool, but it's not proven? Or you've got this thing over here that at least once was proven.
That's a good point, George, and we got another comment.
Yeah.
Tim from Bend, Oregon. How much money is spent in this biz? Gotta be billions. I remember Waterworld was a bust, and they spent millions.
Yeah,
movies are a real crapshoot. I mean, you got your financial successes, like your Avatars, your The Blue People, not that terrible M. Night Shyamalan movie, your Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, all financial successes, and then we have the financial flops like Waterworld. And it's about that time, we're halfway through the episode. So, George, can I get a drum roll, please?
On my mighty chest. I'm doing it.
Our trivia question today. Which electrokinetic supervillain made her debut in Superman the Animated Series? Once again, which electrokinetic supervillain made her debut in Superman the Animated Series? Answer correctly, and you can win an official Geek Talk with Tyler mouse pad. So we're on the subject. What do you think of all these new Marvel movies that are being made out?
I am a Marvel fan. I like what they do. And I take each one for what it is. On a grand scale, what I appreciate with what they're doing is they are using kind of the superhero wrapper to tell different types of stories. You know, off the top of my head, like the Ant-Man number one, that was a heist movie wrapped up in a superhero movie. Captain America Winter Soldier. That was an, you know, old school espionage wrapped up in superhero. So I like when they do that. And then
that
from there,
kind of a reboot, because how many guys movies do we have?
Well, if you bring it all the way back, you know, according to some people, there are three stories. There are really only ever three stories, seven stories, 11 stories. You know, kind of the every story has already been told. It's what's your spin going to be on it? You know, that there are no original stories anymore. There are original ways to tell a story. You know, so as somebody who is kind of a nerd about this stuff, who, you know, again, when I find something good, when I find something bad, there's a part of me that wants to dissect it and figure out what worked and why did it work, what didn't work and why didn't it work. You know, so there's a part of me, and sometimes it'll drive my wife nuts because I won't necessarily be like in the moment with the thing I'm watching, because I'm also looking for the strength and how they did it. You know, there'll be like a beautiful monologue and my wife will have tears down her face and I'm like, oh, I'm so happy for the writer that got to write that. You know, so I watch this stuff with a little bit of a different lens. So, you know, all of it, you know, again, I just want good stories. Flat out.
Well, you're not wrong, but after a while, I'm personally kind of getting tired of seeing the same thing. Like, okay, here's an idea for a good Batman series. Did you hear what happened to Kevin Conroy?
Oh, unfortunately, yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm a geek on Twitter. I couldn't, unfortunately, miss what happened to Kevin.
Yeah. He was a great guy. I'm just glad I had the opportunity to meet him at Terrificon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is funny enough where I met you.
Yeah. It's a great show. It is a wonderful show that mixes a great, you know, let's take Terrificon, for example. I think anybody, you know, so it's held in Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun Casino. Anybody that can make it there, I highly recommend doing it, because we're talking about reboots and originality.
It's a good show.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, kind of using this topic about reboots and originality.
The reason I bring this up,
go for it.
Here's my idea of a reboot that's not really a reboot. Did you see Batman Beyond?
Forever ago.
Okay, so you have seen it.
But go for it.
Here's my
thought. Yeah.
We have an adult Terry McGinnis who takes over Wayne Manor because Bruce is dead, which kind of relates to the whole Kevin Conroy passing kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's still processing how life's going to go on without Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, is it the best idea for a series? No. But it's still original while at the same time being a reboot? Yes. It's like a Schrodinger's reboot. It's a new story while simultaneously being a reboot.
Absolutely, and it works. You know, one, you're giving people an arena that they're comfortable with, right? Batman. Okay, you can kind of come in and you understand a little bit of the mechanics and the mythos of it. You give people a place to mourn and appreciate Kevin Conroy. And in a story format, you get to tell, you know, kind of this, a grief story. You know, in this story, we're going to mourn the loss of Batman / Kevin Conroy. So you get to tell that grief that, you know, a lot of people are feeling right now, wrapped up, you know, in this, you know, mythos of Batman, which, you know, is a lot, I think, is at the core of the newest Black Panther movie. Where, you know, it's not my original thought, but it's, you know, it's a superhero movie wrapped around Awake.
I don't have a chance to see it. How is it?
It's different. It's very different from other Marvel movies because, like I said, it's in honor of Chadwick Boseman. Like, you know, it's right there on Front Street. Like, they can talk about, you know, losing T'Challa all they want, but they're really talking about losing Chadwick. So it is more mature. It's probably the most mature Marvel movie that's ever been out there, and everybody is acting their asses off. Like, they are going for it.
I was not crazy about the way they designed the war. I mean, I get they're supposed to make it more cultural, but he kind of looks like one of the teenagers that works at Hot Topic.
I get that. If you see the movie, he is definitely not a teenager at Hot Topic.
Well, of course not. I've seen the bulge in his pants with the friggin' Facebook spoilers. Behold, I am the mighty Namor.
Yeah.
This is the power of my erection, because apparently Marvel wants us to wear skin-tight clothing.
I mean, dude, if I looked like him, if I looked like any of these people, you wouldn't get me out of, like, skin-tight shorts. You know, I would be going to the grocery store looking like that. If I was a Hemsworth, I would never wear a shirt. You know, so, you know, if
so you basically
work,
look like
the
Nimbus guy from Rick and Morty. Mr. Nimbus was that. Which, funny enough, is another new show that did really well, even though it's basically a parody on a lot of the other, Back to the Future.
Yeah, you know, and there's another way to borrow while, you know, that is one way to get into something original, right, is to have a nod or to borrow some DNA from another thing and bring it over. You know, on a much grander scale, you could kind of say the Watchmen, you know, back in the day. One of the reasons that was successful is it took this thing that you understood, which is superhero comics, borrowed some of that DNA, and then turned it on its head, did its own story. You know, so that's another way that, not necessarily a reboot, but it's a borrowing. And it's a way, you know, again, a lot of this is, and it's what I think about a lot, is how do you lower the barriers to entry? You know,
well,
how do you get
somebody...
Well, you're
not wrong on that, but sometimes borrowed stories make the best stories. Like, do you have Netflix currently?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, there are two shows, and funny enough, they're both borrowed from two talented people. Those shows are F is for Family and Big Mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which were based on Bill Burr's and a bloody hell. Who's the other guy? Do you remember?
You're talking the Big Mouth creators?
Yeah.
You know, if we weren't talking right now, I would have been able to pull his name up off the top of my head. Hold on. We're all connected to Nick Kroll.
Don't look out of the internet.
Yeah, Nick Kroll's the main guy for that. And yeah, so, so if you want to take Big Mouth, you know, so what are they doing? Like, there have been plenty of coming-of-age stories and cartoons and stuff like that.
Oh, I see what you did there. Coming-of-age.
Yeah,
that's clever.
Yeah, thank you. And what they wanted to do was kind of like not the anti-Disney coming-of-age story, the anti-network sitcom about it. You know, so yeah, our kids are going to come of age, but the way, like, how we came of age, but we're going to dial it up to 11 because that's where the comedy comes from. You know, so again, you could pull that all the way back, you know, only 3, 7, 11 types of stories. It's just, how are you going to tell your story? And Big Mouth, you know, jumps out, and it's, you know, again, we're in the middle of going through the 6th season right now. So, you know, I'm a fan. And I enjoy seeing, like, oh, I remember when, you know, sitcom X basically did this story, but they're going to do it in their way. Yeah, and that's, again,
what's
that's,
that saying?
That's another one.
All fiction is nonfiction?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You can take it a step further. You remember that show, Jackie Chan Adventures?
I do.
Funny enough, they actually got his niece to voice Jay Chan, Jackie Chan, the niece,
yeah,
in the actual show.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's beautiful.
That really is
pretty
cool.
That's the fun stuff, you know, where because you know that meant so much to him, you know? But, yeah, I mean, so when I don't know, as a creator, and what I would throw out to, you know, anybody listening is, you know, at least I understand, like, the barrier to entry. I understand that time and money is precious and finite. And I understand, you know, again, when you've got that $20, you're like, look, I've only got an hour and a half to watch a thing. Do I want to watch this thing that I'm familiar with and will probably like? Or do I want to take a risk on this thing that might have a cool premise, but I don't know anything about it?
Riddle me this. If we never had new stories, we wouldn't have the works of Shakespeare. We wouldn't have DC Comics. We wouldn't have Marvel Comics. We wouldn't even have anime, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I mean,
what was that telling you?
We need, I mean, yes, I am a big, big believer in new stories. I'm a weird, I think I'm in an anomaly of a comics creator where I didn't get into comics because I had, like, Spider-Man saved my life and I have to tell a Spider-Man story. I really don't have, and this is probably a bat on me, you know, if Marvel and Marvel editor were to call me tomorrow and go, we want you to pitch on a book. What do you want to do? I would stammer because I don't have anything, you know, ready for that. I don't have a Wonder Woman story. I don't have a Spider-Man story. I do have...
Well, of course you wouldn't have
a Doctor...
Wonder Woman story ready for Marvel.
Fair
That's
point.
Like delivering pork to a kosher deli. No, you're talking
about it. I do have a Doctor Strange story, but I think it's more of like an annual type of story. But you asked me, you know, well, what original stories do I have? I have entire folders full of ideas. Like, one of my fears in this world is, like, I will never have enough time to work on all the stories that I have.
Is there
but, you
anything
know,
from anime I wish was real? A hyperbolic time chamber.
Yeah, 100%.
That way you can spend a whole year in a day.
Yes. Yeah,
that
absolutely.
It's like an automatic heel.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess the last appeal I'll throw out to, you know, anybody listening, because I know we got to wrap up soon.
Yeah, well,
is,
we got to wrap this up right now. So we apparently didn't get another submission for an answer. So that answer to that trivia question, and one more time, what is the name of the electrokinetic supervillain that made her debut in Superman the Animated Series? Livewire. We also would have accepted her alter alias, Leslie Wills. So as we're wrapping up, George, you want to tell about who you are, what you do, yada, yada, yada?
Absolutely. Again, my name is George O'Connor. If you're looking for something new to read and discover, please visit my website, homelesscomics.com. I've got 6 different graphic novels up there. You can download a free preview of each of them and then order from me directly. If you're into heavy metal, please check out my band swarmofeyes.com. If you want to hear more from me on a daily basis on Twitter, it's at lazyhorde, LazyHorde. And if you're new to Hive, George W. O'Connor. And
perfect.
Give something new a try the next time you're at a convention.
We certainly will. I've read that comic. It is a good comic. Stay tuned next
Thank
week.
You.
Same regular Tyler time, same regular Tyler phone number. Well, technically it's a Mancini number, but I digress. It'll be our Thanksgiving special where we talk about all the wonderful foods from anime, including ramen, sushi, and everything in between. My guest will be a returning one, my fan of My Fan Cosplay. If you want to know more about her, go to my website, ptalkwithtyler.com, as well as my co-host, George, and then we'll be uploading his bio to our website. And remember, stay geeky.